Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today's 9-1-20. You know what that means? It's time for Mickey Fulp's monthly major market review. Mickey, welcome back. And hey, don't forget, you find Mickey's work at mercenarygeologist.com. And send us your questions, comments. We track these markets monthly. We've been doing it for many years now, Mickey. And God, what a month this one was, both in metals and in the share markets.
Lots of black on the board, Kerry. I think three metrics turned red over the month. We'll talk about those. But the stock market bubble continues unabated. Kind of like the nightly riots in Portland, I guess. So the Dow, get this, the Dow is now positive for the year, Kerry.
It's madness. And and look how much the S&P and the NASDAQ are up for the year. What do you say about this?
Well, the Dow closed at 28,430. It's up something like 10,000 points since its bottom in March. That's a 7.5% gain. S&P 500's been on quite a roll. Six-day record streak at the end of the month. Closed at 3,500, up 7%. NASDAQ had records six of the last seven or seven of the last 8 days, closed at 11,774, up 9.5%. The Russell 2000 continues to lag, but it still had a nice month, 1562, up 5.5% on the month.
Yeah, it's like the only one of these three that of the four that isn't at record levels.
This is true.
Hey, and now we go to our other markets, and much the same story here.
Yeah, let's start with the VIX, the S&P 500 Volatility Index, also called a fear index. It spent the month basically in the low 20s, and it went up toward the end of last week, closed at 26.4. But to put this in perspective, it remains quite volatile compared to its 30-year record, which the average is 19.4 and the median 17.3. Going on to our neighbors to the north, the Toronto Venture Exchange has lagged. We've been talking about how it's been tracking the Dow, what diverged, underperformed last week, or last month, pardon me, closed at 16,514, only up 2%. I have to think that the border closure that Trudeau continues to propagate is got a lot to do with it. Canada, especially this time of year, depends a lot on the U.S., for tourism.
Yeah, it's a total act of madness, but we don't need to debate the politics here. They speak for themselves. So anyway, on to our venture, man. That one's interesting as well.
Toronto Venture Exchange consolidated over most of the month. It closed at 751. It was up 4%, but it had really gone exponential from its low of 339 in mid-March. So that's what,
it's more than doubled.
Yeah.
That's remarkable.
Yeah. It's 100% gain more or less. But we like this consolidation. It's been range bound from say 720 to 760 over the course of the month. Meanwhile, the emerging market large and medium cap index, also underperformed. And I think that's due to China is learning a lesson about its dependence on rest of the world. And with the rest of the world importing gigas, I think that affected the emerging market index. It closed at 1101 on the month.
All right. So now we look at our money here. The dollar continues getting slammed. I mean, it's 4 months in a row it's declined.
Well, the dollar is actually down 8% since mid-March, when all hell broke loose. So it closed at 92.18, down 1.3%. Basically what Trump wants, Trump gets. But we haven't seen a value like this since for 2.5 years, actually, this low. Meanwhile, the euro tracks the dollar 56%, DXY is attributable to the euro. It closed at 119, also up 1.3%. Big news probably was that bonds finally topped out and interest rates actually started to rise a bit. Closed the month at 0.72%. No one's writing home to mama about that, but that is a 31% change on the month. And a lot of that came last week with Fed Chairman Powell's gobbledygook message, which makes some sense out of that, if you will.
Par for the course. I mean, that's the obfuscation and downright deception.
Good point, Kerry. And finally, Bitcoin was flat for at least that cryptocurrency and others too. It closed the month at 11,726, up a measly 3.5%. And in cryptocurrency world, that is flat.
Definitely. And when you go back, it can't break through resistance from, I guess it was June of 19 when it hit 12,323. It's been trying to recover from there. That's kind of the resistance point. We'll see what where, if anywhere, it goes to from there. And now our favorite topic du jour, which is of course metals.
Well, the precious metals all consolidated, really led by gold. Gold closed at $1,967, down $6 on the month. It reached a high intra-month of 2063, of course, an all-time high again. And the good thing about it is it somewhat corrected, but it really is consolidating, in my opinion, building a base in the mid-1900s, which it was really important because if you look at a chart, the next resistance really is at 1800, and the resistance below that is 1720. So that exponential rise of gold was too far too fast, and we're happy to see it consolidating. Silver had a very nice month, up 15% to 2814, but it has also been consolidating over the last couple of weeks. And to put the silver price in perspective, with gold at all-time highs, silver is still not much more than 50% of its all-time high of 49.47 in 2011.
I find that whole thing really interesting, is that gold at an all-time high, silver trading just over 50% of its all-time high. It looks like it has a lot more to go.
Well, it does. And that high of nearly $50 never even made it there. I think intraday high was 49.84, and if memory serves, May of 2011. But that was a blown out market. And so silver, people ask me, will silver reach record highs? And I don't think so anytime soon. And if it does, it's going to be one of these exponential spikes. That's kind of the way silver operates. That's not saying that silver doesn't still have additional upside, because it does. And we'll talk about that when we get into the ratios here.
All right.
Meanwhile, the other two precious metals also consolidated toward the last half of the month. Platinum, intraday, at one point exceeded $1,000, but now it's consolidating in this low 900 range. Closed the month at 926, up a little bit more than 3%. Palladium hit a 30-day high at 2133 at the end of the month, up almost 8%. But once again, it has been consolidating in this plus or minus $2,100 range. And going on to Dr. Copper, he looks like the doctor is in the office now. Wuhan flu be damned. Copper Has been quite strong all month. It consolidated first in the 290 range, hung out around 296 for a few days, and then continued its upward tick. It closed at 303 for nearly a 5% gain. This is the high since June of 2018, and in terms of short-term fundamentals, quite strong. So I can say for the first time in a couple of years that I like the short-term fundies of copper.
Yeah, $3 and the $3 point becomes support now. And it seems to me, Mick, you know, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm premature, I'm crying wolf. We're starting to see commodity price inflation. And let's go over to the energy sector, where I think.
And part of that has to do with weakness in the US dollar, too, Gary. Yes. Don't forget that.
Which they kind of go hand in hand. So sure. Looking at our energy, another interesting picture there as well.
Well, with an improving world economy for the most part, demand is stronger. There is evidence that Chinese are stockpiling oil, much the same as the U.S. did a couple of months ago. WTI closed the month at 42.61, up 6%. Brent closed at 45.10, up 4.5%. The big mover across the board this month was Henry Hub Gas near Shreveport, Louisiana, the benchmark for natural gas in the production areas of the U.S., our biggest production areas. It closed at 263, up 46% on the month, but carried a channel, my best, it's a beautiful day. Hot summer days carry us along. So it really has been a hot summer and air conditioning season. And that has a lot to do with the rebound in Henry Hub Gas. I'm looking down our board, and we got to go till October of last year since we see Henry Hub at this level.
Yeah. And it's just interesting to see it go up that fast. I mean, that's like something Bitcoin would do, 46% in a month, Mickey. I mean, that's a huge move.
When you're this low in the bottom of the barrel, it's easy to make a big jump. And your denominator, don't forget this, the denominator is so low that the percent change is really not exacerbated, I'm not sure, exaggerated, let's say.
Yeah, agreed. And it's been weak, really, for the entire year, been trading below $2. And now 263, not really as high as the prices need to be to really see that sector break out of its doldrums. But maybe it's the start.
You mean I got to do the math here. It's 13-year doldrums?
Yeah, I think 13, but it did go over $4.
A few spikes, yeah. Especially because of weather. But, one metric we use to look at the relative health of the gas and oil industries are the rig ratio. And the rig ratio, although rigs are way, way down, the rig ratio is still very skewed toward oil at this point.
Yeah. Yep. Agreed. And finally, uranium, your personal heartbreaker.
I've given up on uranium. I quit forecasting when it's going to turn around a couple of years ago. It ran up to $34 and then it flatlined at $32.95 for 6 weeks or so. And it went down last month. Closed at $30.95, down $2 on the month, 6%. And really, the reason was that Cameco announced it was going to reopen Cigar Lake, and the Kazakhs announced they're going to increase production. So the world is awash in U3O8.
Yeah, it just reminds me of OPEC, the way they cut back production and then they're losing too much money, so then they up production, but it drives down the price further, and it accomplishes absolutely nothing. But let's move on to our ratios. We got some interesting things here, especially the gold to silver ratio.
This is true. Gold silver ratio went below 70 for the first time. And I'm scrolling down here.
Yeah, me too. I'm scrolling.
For the first time in three and a half years. Yeah. The end of March in 2017, it was below 70. So, but to put that in perspective, the mean and the median are in the upper 50s. That tells you that silver's got a way to go to catch up, and it may do that. Platinum and gold was basically flat over the month at 0.47. Platinum is still sorely undervalued. Platinum palladium ratio dropped a couple of ticks to 0.43. These are near historic lows, Kerry. Going on to energy, Brent to WTI, 6% arbitrage on that. That's on the low end of what we've seen lately. WTI to Henry Hub took a pretty big hit because of Henry Hub's big move, 16 on that ratio. And finally, the gold to WTI ratio was the sixth highest ever at 46.2. But as we mentioned each month, those six highs have occurred in the last 6 months.
Yeah, really interesting formation there. And you wonder, oil keeps going up, gold keeps going up. Well, it's definitely an interesting world out there. Anyways, Mickey, these numbers, like,
that's an understatement of the week, Gary.
You know,
you'll be featured on the news, the business news, understatement of the week.
Yeah, well, you know, to see these numbers coming out the way they're coming out, the big loser really is the dollar. When you get down to it, everything else more or less just kind of moving along on the upside. And looking at all these numbers, there's very little red there for this month, except for the dollar.
This is true. We only had three metrics, gold, uranium, and the dollar. Gold was down just a tad. We told you why uranium was down. And the U.S. dollar, DXY, has been down 5 months in a row now.
Yeah. Yep, and that's.
But I told you, Trump wants a weaker dollar, and what Trump wants, he gets from the Munchkin and Kudlow.
Yeah, well, they're very accommodating, and Powell. So let's not forget him.
Well, yeah, he's at a bit of odds with Powell, but
it looks like
that's Fed gobbledygook, Kerry. So
they're carrying Trump's water at the Fed. It's that simple. There's no other way to describe it. And they can complain, do what they like. But in the end, once read in Barron's, the Fed is doing what it does best, which is reelecting a president.
And they've been known to do that before, haven't they, Kerry?
Always, always. They'd rather have the devil they know than the devil they don't know.
Well, this is true. And we'll see where it goes. But I'm not complaining at this point.
Hey, nothing to complain about on either score.
Not with these markets going up and up and away.
No, it was what we were waiting for, what we were despairing that would never occur again. And here we are. Everything old is new again. Those wide ties one day are going to be the height of fashion yet again. And mark my words. Anyways, that's it for this month.
Hey, Kerry, I'm about 100 of those things, so they need to come back in style.
Yeah, well, I don't have any, you know, I don't wear ties except when I see you sometimes, and that's a rarity. So
peer pressure, huh?
Yeah, peer pressure is a very powerful force. And anyways, that is it for this month. Make sure you go over to Mickey's site, mercenarygeologist.com. Sign up for his missives, his musings, as they're referred to, mercenary musings. And the Twitter feed is at mercenarygeo. Go to our site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. And our Twitter feed's at Kerry Lutz, and we're having a contest. Win $1,000 in gold. You just have to guess the price of gold, but it will be noontime, high noon on September 25th. 2020. A little belated hat tip to Nixon closing the gold window 49 years ago. And enter it. If you're outside the U.S. and I can't ship you the gold, I'll PayPal you the money. And it's financialsurvivalnetwork.com/contest. Mickey, we will pick up. Oh, any questions or comments, email us kl@carrylutz.com. And Mickey, we'll pick up where we left off next month.
I guess I'm ineligible for that giveaway. It'd be a conflict of interest, huh?
No, you're not related. You're not an employee. So the only people are the people who directly... There's no way to cheat on the thing that I can figure out. Can you?
I don't know.
Well, let me know if you do, because I'll change it.
I haven't looked at it closely.
No,
all
you got,
I know about it is what you just told me.
You got to put in your entry no later than midnight, September 15th. And then, so you got 10 days in which the markets will fluctuate and do their thing. So unless you're the master chartist, you're probably not going to be able to figure it out. And you're just going to have to rely upon luck.
Or you set up a bunch of email accounts. And
we'll figure that one out. We track IP addresses. You can't do that. So no cheating allowed. One entry per person. If you're under 18, have your parent enter for you. And
it's like one of those porno channels, right?
Or like buying cigarettes.
Parents' permission.
You got to be 21 to buy cigarettes now.
Yeah, or vaping, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, remember in Vietnam, they said the reason for changing the voting age to 18 was you were young enough to die for your country, but not old enough to vote for it. Now you are young enough to die for your country, but you're not old enough to try to get lung cancer. So something is screwed up in the world, Mickey.
Been that way for quite a while.
Oh, yes, it has. So, all right, Mickey, thanks again. And we'll be back here next month.
Thanks a lot, Gary.